Gotta get your brain right if you're trying to make $1 million. If you ain't gonna do it for yourself, then do it for your mama. Only stay surrounded by them people if you know they solid. Elevate your hustle up today to double up your profit. Trying to learn some game, Xavier gonna talk about it. No Deanna, speak that shit that everybody vouching. Ain't no more excuses valid. Get up off the couch and get up in your bag. To your bank account, need an accountant.
Okay. Yo, 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 welcome back to the greatest show on earth, the Millionaire Mindsets Podcast. I am your gracious host, Xavier, and today I got another live, amazing episode for y'all. But before we get started, I would like to advise all the watchers, all the listeners, to please subscribe, hit that like button, hit that share button, give us that five-star rating and review. We would greatly appreciate that because we're trying to run those numbers up and getting right into the show. So today I got another special guest. I got a live one. Like I said before we start, y'all better like, y'all better share this with a family member, a friend. Some, because this is about to be some game, some life-changing game for you. So, like I said, do all those things. So, I got a special guest for y'all. I got my boy Kabir out of Compton, making way from Atlanta. He's from Atlanta now. So, welcome to the show, bro. I'm excited to have you here, man.
Man, it's an honor being on your show, Xavier, man. I love the podcast, man.
Thank you,
doing
bro.
Your thing, and I'm honored to be here, bro.
Thank you, man. Thank you, bro. And let's get right to it, man. So for the listeners, watchers, this could be their first time seeing you, hearing you. They stuck under a rock. Yeah. Let the people know. Give some brief background on yourself. Let them know who you are.
Man, that's a tough question. It's always a tough question for me. But yeah, my name is Kabir Muhammad. I'm originally from Compton, California. Man, husband, father, you know, creator. Man, I'm just an innovator. And man, I created the Credit Fixer software. About 12 years, 13 years, you know, software development experience. And man, I built the greatest credit repair software in the industry.
Oh, we about to get into it, bro. So, but going back, before we got, how did you get into that field? Being from Compton, California, we all know what Compton is. You ain't got to be from Compton to know what Compton right. is. So how did you get into that?
Yeah, you know, from Compton to where I'm at now is you know, it's a long journey.
Right.
But, you know, Compton gave me the heart that I got today. You know, it gave me that edge, you know, due to the environment that I grew up in. And that helped me along, you know, in any environment, whether I was in a boardroom at Boeing or Google, things like that, or in different, you know, areas, whether I'm in somebody else's hood or whatever the case may be. But, you know, I would say that, you know, I grew up playing sports a lot. And so
what'd you play?
I played college basketball,
okay,
baseball, Blue Mountain College in okay. Oregon, and Mount Hood College.
Okay.
And I ran track there as well.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Are you an athlete for real?
Yeah, man.
What position you played? Basketball?
I played 1 and 2.
1 and 2?
Yeah, I was winning.
Okay. Oh, he played in college also. That means you hoop for real.
Oh, yeah.
You ain't sure. Just one of them. You know, a lot of dudes be like, yeah, I play ball. It's just like they played freshman year of high school. That was it.
Right.
Yeah. You for real. That's hard, really, man. So did you go to school for what you doing now?
I did. So the thing is, once I transferred from Mount Hood to Morehouse College in Atlanta.
Okay.
And I had a full ride basketball scholarship. And then Coach Brewer brought another guard in from, I think he was from Detroit, gave me a partial scholarship. So I was like, nah, damn. I'm good. So I just started focusing totally on education.
Really?
So, from there, I was actually studying architectural engineering. You know, throughout my college career up until I got to Morehouse. And so I switched from that to computer science.
Man, how was that something that was just like easy for you to do in school? Because I know for some people, school was like difficult as hell. Was that something that was a breeze for you?
Nah, not at all, man. I enjoyed math. It came easy to me. You know, so in, you know, engineering, computer science is really 90% math, really. Really 100% math. If you really look at it from the fundamental level.
Right.
But it was actually difficult for me to actually do computer science, though. That was the difficult part because I had never thought about it like that. I had never faced problems from a technical standpoint.
Right.
It was always either from a mathematical standpoint or like architecture. When you're doing architecture, you're using computers, but you're using AutoCAD or Rivet or something like that. And it's just like you designing homes and buildings and objects, right?
Mm.
But when it comes to computer science, it's underlying the things that underlying like softwares, like ones and zeros, capacitors and just things like that. So,
And from there, did you go straight? Because from my understanding, I know you work from Boeing.
Yeah.
And so did you go from there, from straight to Boeing? And the reason I'm asking you these questions is because I know the listeners, I want to get them understanding on background that you just not some random dude that's just going into this field. Like, you got, like, real certified background in this. So so did you go from there straight to Boeing?
I didn't, actually. I didn't. Okay. well, when I graduated, I did. But I was always doing two things. I was a HOP scholar, right, at Morehouse. And so we had to do summer research. And so one of the things that I had to do every summer was go to a research laboratory and do research. So one of the places that I went was University of Chicago.
Okay.
And we mapped out I was a part of a team that mapped out the verbal speech process in the human brain. Yeah. And so we would take these epilepsy patients, and they would allow us to put ECG electrodes directly on top of their brain. Because before they went to surgery,
right.
They were already going to get their skull cut off and have some surgery on their brain. So they was like, yeah, you can run these tests on us. And so they would run these tests, basically asking them, like, say, count to one through 10, say your ABCs, say this word right here. What color is that? Right. And so on. And so I was a part of the team as a developer. and mind you, this guy's name is Dr. Leo Toll. You can go look this up. I was a part of a team to where we would have to take all this data that we receive. It was like CSV data, just, data, common separated value data. And we would put it through a software that we were developing so that we can visualize what was happening in the brain. So it would travel from the Wernicke's area to the Broca's area to the motor cortex. And then the motor cortex would actually, make the mouth actually say the word. But we learned that thought was traveling at 24 billion miles per second. So you were actually thinking the word before you said it. So it already happened 24 billion miles per second already. So when I say per second just now, I already said it. My mouth just actually verbally said it. So it's happening that fast.
It's happening that quick.
Yeah, yeah. So that was cool. So that actually really helped me learn a lot doing those researches, doing research like that. But my final year, I did research at the University of Washington, where we mapped out the flight paths of moths. That was really boring to me, actually.
Yeah, that sounds boring.
But it was dope because moths are blind. They're trying to figure out, like, why do moths fly the way they fly? How do they know?
Are they blind?
Yeah, they blind.
I didn't see this. You learn random facts on MM. I didn't know that, bro. So, no wonder they just be flying and stuff.
Yeah,
like that. Okay.
But they're attracted to light.
See, I did not know that.
Yeah, but
that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So, I did that, but I also interned with Boeing.
Okay.
And so that's how I started getting into Boeing. And once I graduated from Morehouse, I forewent, grad school, because that was part of the program at Morehouse. You had to do summer research, then you had to go on to the grad school so you can get your PhD. But I was doing so well at Boeing, and it was paying me pretty well. So I was just like, I'm finna go this route. And that's what I did.
That's what you did. Man, you got a hell of a background, bro.
Man.
But hearing about the brain thinking the words part, that makes so much sense, and why I think it's important to probably slow down before you speak, because I know your brain could be flowing like crazy, and you just start blurting out shit without gathering your thoughts to fully express what you want to say verbally.
Yeah.
So that make a lot of sense.
Technically, actually, you don't have to slow down.
You don't?
Nah, you don't have to slow down. Your brain is on average. That's just on average. The brain is traveling that fast. It can travel faster. So you look at, like, Twista, he a rapper, he be I would imagine his brain is traveling a lot faster, right?
That's wild.
Yeah, his thoughts are traveling a lot faster.
That's wild. So I want to get into Credit Fixer right now.
Okay.
So for the person that's listening or watching, break it down on what is the Credit Fixer platform.
Yeah, so Credit Fixer is a DIY, the foundation of Credit Fixer is a DIY platform that empowers consumers with the knowledge, the tools, and the resources to fix their own credit.
And it's not, we spoke earlier, and it's not like a whitelist. This is your thing that you created, which is, like, phenomenal to me.
Man, thank you.
So for the listener that's using this, because I seen something that you spoke on your gram, and I also wanted to get into this. You talked about three reasons why someone should fix their credit on their own. And it's probably going to make a lot of people mad. They're going to see this and be like, damn. But I feel like that's a very powerful statement, because at the end of the day, I don't know if a lot of people are aware of it, but you can fix it on your own.
Absolutely.
So talk about, I want you to break that down, like what you talked about in the video, the three reasons why you should just fix it on your own.
Yeah, I forget the reasons that I told him, but I can give you a couple reasons, mm-hmm. right? Number one, man, you got to control your own credit. That's your credit. It would behoove you to actually know how to manage it. You don't have full control of it. And so a lot of us, like, we think that is difficult, and that's where we fail right there. It's not difficult at all. They make it seem like it's difficult, but it's very simple. It's not some calculus or physics or something like that. You literally can learn how to fix your credit in a day, right? So, you know, that was my goal, to really show and empower people, like, yo, don't, you looking at this thing all wrong. And so my goal is to give you the right approach, because anytime you know how to approach a thing properly, then you know what to do.
That's right? Facts.
Like, and that's what I'm trying to do, is provide you the approaches, the information, so that you know how to approach this thing, so that you know any type of situation you facing with your credit, like, you know how to deal with it. Mm-hmm. And not only that, once you learn how to deal with it, you're able to equip yourself and equip your friends and your family. And now all of y'all, you know, got the information and got the approaches and know what to do. Now you can go get that credit, that house, that car, you know, the things that you desire to get, that funding, all those different things that could help you, you know, financially.
And you're going to save yourself a lot of money.
And save your, man, that's another reason. Saving yourself a whole lot more money than paying somebody else and still not know how to fix your credit whenever it, you know, goes down again. Because it will go down again in most cases, especially if you don't know how to manage your credit. Nobody's credit really stays up.
Right.
It never.
No, they don't.
It goes down every now and then.
Yep.
You got to learn how to remove those inquiries when you don't get the funding or the thing that you apply for.
And I also said, you could. I also seen you mention how you can remove, like, any and everything from it.
That's correct.
Yeah. So break that down just for the viewers that may be like, wait, what? Like, give them the information on that.
Yeah. So let's take people who don't know, who can't get bank accounts. A lot of people.
Yes, a lot of it sounds crazy to some, but that's true.
Yeah, a lot of people get their identity stolen, or somebody applies for, you know, do bad checks in their name. Like, that happened to my cousin, and he couldn't open up a bank account for a long time.
With nobody.
He didn't know that he was in check systems. Check systems is a credit reporting agency as well, and basically they collect data on people who have. Mess up with banks. And so banks actually reach out to check systems to see, like, did this person run bad checks, you know, or do fraud or anything like that. And so that's how they verify. That's why when they run your social to, like, let's say Bank of America or Chase, and they don't allow you to open up a bank account, is because they didn't went to check systems. And so what you can do is you can actually get your credit report from check systems, and you can dispute with check systems and get those things removed from your credit report.
And that's a simple process.
It's fairly simple. It's a few steps to do it, but yes.
What about other things that's on your that people have on their report that they need to get removed?
Like student loans?
Student loans or anything.
Yeah, like bankruptcies.
Bankruptcies.
Yes, yeah. You can get bankruptcies removed. A lot of times, man, a lot of people think getting bankruptcies removed is very difficult, and it's really not. Because, number one, credit reporting agencies like TransUnion, Equifax, Experian, they have to report 100% accurate. And number one, they have to have permissible purpose to even report that information. And so a lot of times what they do is, there's a company called, I think it's Clarity Services, and another one is called LexisNexis. Which what they'll do is they'll get your public information and they store it. And so TransUnion, Equifax, and these companies, they'll reach out to them and they'll say that, not only that, they'll say that the court actually sent them your information because it's public record information, right? They'll reach out to the courts and say that the court said reported this to us. But that's not even accurate. Courts don't report your information to these credit reporting agencies. No. And so what you would do in one of the steps, you will send a letter to the courthouse, which you filed the bankruptcy, and they'll send you a letter stating, like, we did not share your information with a third-party company, which is TransUnion, Equifax, Experian. You take that letter, you follow that letter up with another dispute letter that's in the dispute flow, and you send it to them, letting them know that you did not verify this information with them because they just showed that you lied. So you don't even have permissible purpose to even show this information on my credit report. And that's how you get, that's how you get bankruptcies removed.
That's incredible. And with Credit Fixer, your platform, are they able to use the platform to help to like elevate their credit, take things off, or no?
Absolutely. Okay. So I'll explain it to you. The way in which Credit Fixer works is you would sign up and put your, it's a few steps, put your personal information in, get your credit report from credit monitoring service like Smart Credit or Identity IQ.
Right.
And there's others, but I actually have four, and I'll show you guys a demo, doing that. Yeah. But once you import your credit report, Credit Fixer is going to analyze your credit report, do a credit analysis for you. It's going to pull in your entire credit report.
You can show us right now if you want.
Word.
Yeah, we good. You can pull it up, Jordan. he about to give y'all the whole breakdown of the platform. We about to pull it up on the screen. So if you listening, if you just listening to the audio, get on YouTube right now and watch this video so you can see the full breakdown on how this works. There we go.
Okay, there we go. All right, so like I said, once you log into Credit Fixer, you guys already, I already have a credit report imported in here, so I won't show you how it gets imported. But
right.
the first thing you would do is go here, put your personal information in, right? Upload your proof of identity. That's like a driver's license or a state ID, social, or if you don't have your social, you can upload a address verification. That could be like a pay stub or a W-2, okay, or a utility bill, all right? Save that. Once you save that, the next thing you want to do is step two, which is import your credit reports. Now, we have a couple different options. You can soon we're going to have Credit Fixer Reports, which is our own credit monitoring service.
That's dope, bro.
Right.
That's dope, man.
Thank you. Smart Credit, My Free Score, Now Identity IQ, My Score IQ. So you can choose any one of these, right? Once you select them, you're going to import your credit report. Once you import your credit report, Credit Fixer is going to do a couple of things, like I said. It's going to import your credit scores here, but it's going to import the entire credit report right here. It's going to show personal information, all accounts, derogatory accounts if you have them, public records if you have them, late payments, increase, but like I said, it's also going to do a credit analysis for you and show you exactly what's hurting your credit score. So if I click credit analysis breakdown, it's going to show you all the a high level view, all of the derogatory items that you have and who's reporting them. Okay. So you can export it as a PDF so you can take a look at it. So once you do that, notice on the dashboard, we have a dispute letter tracker, and I'll talk about this really quick. So every letter that you generate within the Credit Fixer software will show up in the dispute letter tracker. So tracking your information is very essential, keeping track of this, because court starts in the mail. So anytime they want to not honor your disputes, or they violate you and they know that they violate you, violating you, and you know that they are, then now you have a track record. So when you go to the CFPB, which governs these credit reporting agencies, then you have something to deal with and something to show, right? But so this is why this is important. So you can upload any responses you get back from the credit reporting agencies. Yep. Upload
That's
the
hard.
Document. Yeah, so you can keep track of this stuff, right? You
Damn.
Can, yeah, bro. You can edit your letters if you want to. You can send them certified mail or first-class mail from the software. This is Credit Fixer Mailer, which is our own mailing service. So you don't have to leave the comfort of your home. You can literally use this software, and you can mail out your letters. It's very simple, right? And I'll demo this in a second. You can also download the dispute letters. Just click this button. Download it.
Download.
Damn. On the DIY side, it show you instructions on how to send it.
How to send it and everything.
Yep.
Oh yeah, this is big time for real, because there's so many people that they have issues with their credit. They want to dispute these things, but it's like they scrambled all over the place. And this, from looking at this platform, this is very organized. This is the way to have all your stuff organized. You can send it off. You could make it plain for Absolutely. Anybody. That anybody could do this for real.
Yeah.
It's simple.
Man, my son, when he was like, what, he's nine now. When he was seven, I told him make me a couple dispute letters, and he went in here.
He did it.
It's crazy. It's simple.
No, it is. It's very simple.
Man, we got trade lines in here, and I'm gonna jump into the dispute center in a second. But I put trade lines in here. So once you improve your credit, or you want to structure your credit report, you can purchase trade lines from within the software. Let's go here. Man, I got a lot going on in here. ChatGPT. We got ChatGPT in here.
Really?
I'm the first credit software. I think I'm the only credit software that has ChatGPT in their software, in the system.
Yo, that's amazing, bro. Real talk. I gotta get your props for that. That's because looking at the interface is very simple.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just looking at it and I can see how simple this is to navigate.
Man, what is 15 USC 166?
Is that ChatGPT you asked?
Yep, 1666B.
Formulating a response already. For the people that's listening on this server, he just typed in a question asking ChatGPT, and it already formulated the answer, and it was regarding credit.
Yeah.
So that's next level.
Man.
That's how long did it take you to build out this software?
Man, that's a good question. It took me 5 years.
I could tell. I'm like, this ain't no, for the people that's listening or watching, please understand, this is not no overnight process.
Not
I know firsthand, you're not doing this and making this overnight. I could tell this was a lengthy amount of time you put into this.
It was a lot
five
of days,
years.
A lot of days, a lot of nights, you know. Couple tears shed.
Times you probably want to give up.
Man, of course. You know it. A lot of times I want to give up. But at this point now, man, you know, there's literally nothing that I don't know how to put into this software.
Really?
Not at all. Like I really can literally put anything that I want to put into this software, I can do it.
And when did you officially launch?
August 2021.
So yeah. it's been 2 years.
Almost 2 years. On the 20th, it'll be two years.
I'm gonna give you an early congrats, bro.
Man,
that's major.
This
and we spoke. You already let me know how many users you got on there and everything. You got plenty of users on the site.
Yeah.
You doing a thing, bro.
So
break it down for the people that's because they gonna go to the site. They gonna check it out.
Yeah.
If they want to do this and start and get on that process of fixing their credit, how much is it gonna cost for them to use the software?
That's a great question. So I'm going to go to plans.
Okay.
So I have a couple plans. So
okay.
Like I mentioned earlier, like Credit Fixer, the foundation of it is for the consumer. Nobody wanted to solve the problem for the consumer and help the consumer. They just wanted to charge them and
mm-hmm.
do it for them.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I wanted, once I learned
how to
fix my credit.
Yourself.
Exactly. So this software is literally all about empowering you.
That's big.
To be the Credit Fixer, right? And so I have a self plan, which is $49.97 per month. I got a family plan, which is $99.97. But with this plan, you can literally add up to 3 friends or family, and they can fix their credit.
So that's super affordable.
Come on, man. What? And it's really simple. You can just add family members to your plan, and they're able to fix their credit.
And what was the plan, the final plan I saw?
And then the final plan is Credit Fixer Business.
Okay.
Now,
for your business.
That's for CROs or credit repair companies
okay.
who want to fix credit for their clients. So
oh,
I didn't.
Okay, I see. I said, man, bro, you put some time into this.
Come on, man.
Come on, I see. Okay. Wow. That's this. I ain't never seen nothing like this.
Right.
Yeah, I've been seeing other people like with white lists, and it's kind of like
white labels. Yeah.
Yeah. White labels. I keep saying white lists. White labels where like it's a decent software and platform, but this is very. This is very niche based and very specific, and they got a lot of advanced details.
Yeah.
And that's just from the demo that I'm seeing now. I'm pretty sure if I went on there on my own free time, I would discover a lot more stuff.
Yeah, you will. And I do want to show some other things, but
okay,
I do want
ahead.
You to ask some questions as
go,
I go. But
go ahead.
Like so Credit Fixer has Metro 2, it has consumer law, and it has factual disputing.
All on there.
All in the system. And I'll show you right now. I'll select all accounts. You can dispute both positive and negative accounts, right? So I'm just gonna select a couple.
So you on here, you could dispute. You could what was the other things you mentioned that you could also do on here? You got ChatGPT on here that you could ask the questions right there and come up with answers. You could dispute.
Yep.
You could save your letters. You could send off letters.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the others?
You can fax letters from here.
Fax letters.
You can mail them certified mail. I don't know if you said that yet, but you could do that as well.
You send certified mail too?
Yeah.
Yo, this next level, bro. I got to give you a props for real.
That's
major, man. Because this is not an easy task to come up with and complete.
Man, and I'm just getting started, believe it or
not.
I know it.
This is only going to grow.
Oh, yeah. And, like, if you look at this, like, credit fixer, if you don't know how to read a credit report and find violations, I also went the extra step and find the inaccuracies and violations for you.
Okay.
And you can use these as dispute reasons. Mm. And so, man, I'm just going all out with this, man, because like I said, I'm really trying to empower you so that you got this.
Do you have, so for the listeners and watchers that's going to want to sign up and that's going to sign up, mm-hmm. do you have a page where they can see, like, testimonials or reviews?
Yeah,
or
you can go to Credit Fixer? You can Google Credit Fixer and see some of the reviews.
Yep.
You know, it's so interesting. You know, I don't really ask people for reviews. They just hit me up and let me know.
That they wrote one.
If you think about it, like, these are people doing it by themselves, and they don't sometimes want to share that. You know what I mean?
Right, they don't
even think to do it. They just do it, and then they done, and they go about their own business.
Facts. Because I know me personally, I don't think I've ever written a review. Unless somebody really reached out to me and asked me, like, yo, mm-hmm. you use my service. Did you like it? Do you mind writing a review? But on my own, me personally, I could have 5-star service. It just don't cross my mind to write a review.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I definitely know what you mean by that.
Yeah, man. And you know what? We did the Credit Fixer Challenge. We also have a Credit Fixer Challenge, which actually I implore users to actually join and learn, okay. because that's really where we come and teach you exactly what to do as well. The software helps you a lot. It gives you guidance. I got tutorial videos, which I'm going to show you in a second. Let me select some inquiries real quick so I can show.
Yeah, that's major.
Hey, you guys. Sorry to interrupt today's episode, but if you're looking to get into the e-commerce space, then I have something just for you. A little while ago, Xavier and I decided to start an e-commerce store, but we had no idea where to get started. Luckily, after doing some research, we came across Shopify. If you don't know what Shopify is a commerce platform revolutionizing millions of businesses worldwide. Whether you're a garage entrepreneur or IPO ready, Shopify is the only tool you need to start, run, and grow your business without struggle. Shopify puts you in control of every sales channel, so whether you're selling satin sheets from Shopify's in-person POS system or are offering organic olive oil on Shopify's all-in-one e-commerce platform, you're covered. And once you've reached your audience, Shopify has the internet's best converting checkout to help you turn them from browsers into buyers, and that's something we can personally attest to. And what I love most about Shopify is no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is truly a global force, powering millions of entrepreneurs of every size across 170 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is here to support you every step of the way. This is a possibility powered by Shopify. So if you guys are interested in getting started, you can go to shopify.com/mindsets and sign up for a $1 per month trial period. Again, that is shopify-mindsets. Get ready to take your business to the next level today. Thank you guys again so much for listening, and let's get back to the show.
Oh, yeah, while you're doing it, I want to ask you this. How were you okay. able to, because you've been doing this for 5 years, mm-hmm. and I know this took a lot of time, energy, and effort, and you're also a husband and a father.
Mm-hmm.
So how were you able to balance that time with all those different hats? Because that's not easy.
Man, I have a great wife who does a great job with our children, and so, but that doesn't displace, you know, my responsibility of being exactly. there and helping out and stuff like that. But she definitely, you know, takes that burden on, and I'm there 100% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I feel like, you know, it hasn't been a good balance, you know, because I shouldn't have built this software the way in which I built it. I shouldn't have built it with just myself. I should have had, you know, maybe 15 to 20 developers helping me build this software.
Right.
And you know, people look at me, I got like friends was like, I can't believe you actually built this, you know. Even like the boss that fired me from my last job.
Are we gonna get into that?
Yeah. I sent the copy to her. I was like, let's check out my new website. I mean my software. But we'll talk about that later. But
yeah.
But yeah, man, just it wasn't a balance, man. I would go to work, get off at 5, get home around 6, eat, hang out with the fam for about an hour and a half, work from 9 to about 4 a.m. in the morning sometimes, go back to work at 9, do it, you know, do it all over again. For 2 years straight. I was doing that. I mean, if you go on my IG and look at my stories, you'll see some of those videos where I'm up at like 3 a.m., 2 a.m., building the software. I was showing people the journey of me building software because I wanted to and the reason why I did that, because I wanted people that look like me know that, look, you can literally take an idea.
Literally,
an idea that you're thinking about and concretize it and bring it into reality.
Yep.
And you can build it at a scale like Google and Microsoft and those softwares like that. But many of us never seen us do it. And I think that that's very important so that you can, you know, muster up the confidence to actually try it.
That's right. And we also, many of us that's attempting to do it, we scared of showing people that process of us at ground zero.
Yeah.
We scared of people judging us. We want to look a certain way. Right. Like I tell people all the time, my biggest regret is that I didn't document when I got in the military until now, to seeing like what people could see, like where I started from. Cause now when you see the, like, I don't want to say the end results, but when you see when somebody quote unquote made it, you just kind of think it's always been that way.
Right.
Where it's like, well, if I could show y'all from when I got in the military, having $300 in my account,
right,
no nothing. And I just put my phone up and said that and recorded it.
Wow.
What is that content worth today?
Man.
You know what I'm saying? So I tell my biggest advice to business people, content, anybody, I don't give a fuck where you at. If you work at McDonald's,
facts,
Chick-fil-A, you a bank teller, document that. Because you're not always going to be there. You're there now, if you got vision, drive, some hustle about yourself, a plan,
right,
5-10 years from now, you're going to be in a total different position.
Right.
And when you got that footage, that content, that's millions of dollars right there. Especially if you like active and you actively posting and building a brand. That's man, you can't put no value on that.
You
doing that, bro, that's genius. You growing, starting the software up. That's, man, 10 years from now when this is bigger than anything, that content right there, that's what they make documentaries on, bro.
Man.
You know what I'm saying?
Bro, that's, man, when I looked at that Kanye documentary, that was so impactful to me. I'm just like, wow. When I look at like Nipsey Hussle, he was documenting his early days too. And it's just like, man, you should really document your process because the thought is already real. Like, I imagine this software, it was a thought. But look, it's real. But it was already real when I was thinking it.
Exactly.
So document your process. If you think you something or want to be something and you got an idea like I want to do this or create this, that thing is already real. Just like that when I was talking earlier about the thought. When people were speaking, the thought was already real. Your mouth just actually said it. Exactly. But it was real.
It was exactly.
You know, no. And so that's the same thing right now. You got the power to create. And this is why, like, I'm so, I'm really just, like, I try to push that all the time. Like, you got this. Because if I could do it, somebody from Compton, California.
Man, I feel to be said.
You
can
do
it. I'll be feeling the same way.
Man, it's just all about you just trusting the process, learning your seasons, winter, spring, fall, summer. It's going to be ups and downs as you go. It's going to be times when you don't know what you're doing.
Facts.
But somebody's going to come along the way, see you, help you, or give you something that's going to be like, oh, that's what I needed. It's going to push you along the way.
Absolutely.
And that's just how it go.
Man, I heard somebody say a long time, they said, and I ain't trying to get spiritual or religious or anything like that, but somebody said, God don't give you a thought of something that you can't obtain. So whatever you can think, you can vision, that means you can get that.
That part.
And that may sound crazy to people, but it's real. Like, if you, like you said, the thought makes it real.
It's already
so if
real.
You could, if you couldn't obtain it, you wouldn't be able to vision it at all.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? You wouldn't be able to see it if you couldn't obtain it. So a lot of times, if you got vision and you telling somebody like a crazy vision you got, they can't see it because that's not for them. They can't even obtain that.
They
you can see it for a reason because it's for you.
Yeah.
You can really get that if you really put that work in.
Right.
And I hope that ain't going over people's head for real.
Really, like, and if it is, it's going to go into somebody. And that's the thing, like, you might have a thought. There's plenty of people that thought about doing this, but they let that thought come and go. Instead
of literally just moving on it.
Instead of taking it and like, you know, I'm going to hold on to this thought, and I'm going to keep thinking on the thought and thinking on the thought until it forms to something greater and greater until, you know what, I'm going to actually implement this. I'm going to do it.
No.
I believe in it enough that I can do it. And this is why I didn't go the business route. You know, I got credit fixing business in here, but I didn't want to go that route. It wasn't about money for me. It was about impact. You know,
That's what it's about.
Man, I got a story where a guy wanted to purchase this software for $50 million.
Get the fuck out of here.
I'm not fucking playing.
All right, we got to talk about this. Let's talk about it. Let's break it down.
So early last year, I had gotten to Atlanta Tech Village. And shout out to my boy Henry from Tuskegee. He put me on there. And I got in there. I interviewed. They accepted me into Atlanta Tech Village. And I get in there. I'm talking with, you know, meeting, you know, other tech companies. And they also, it's like an incubator, right? And there was this black investor. And I talked to him on the phone. Then I ended up going to his office at Atlanta Tech Village. We sat down and talked. And he was like, man, you really got something here. He was like, you don't need, like, most of these guys are in, like, Series A. They're just ideas, and they have funding, but they haven't generated any revenue. Like, you're past the MVP stage. You're actually bringing in profit. So you really have something here. You solved a great problem. And he was like, how much you want to sell it for? And I would like to buy. I was like, okay, what's your offer? And he was like, $50 million. And I said, nah. He said, well, how much? I said, if I was to sell this software, I'm selling it for $7.8 billion if I was to sell the software.
That's a very specific number, and that's important that you know that.
Right.
But keep going, keep going, keep going.
But he was like, what the fuck? Where the fuck you get that number from? I told him, Credit Karma sold their software to Intuit for $7.6 billion. And my software is 10 times better than their software.
100%.
Yeah. So.
So I gotta ask you why. So was the money just saying it's not enough money was the reason that you like, nah.
Man, so it wasn't really necessarily money, but I knew the value of what Credit Fixer is. And I actually enjoy empowering people and creating more and more value, you know? And so this right here is something that no one has solved, this problem. They may have attempted it, but I have a desire of making this more and more innovative for the ordinary person.
But how hard was it for you to say no?
It wasn't hard, actually.
It wasn't?
Yeah, because check this out. I knew how Credit Karma was making money before everybody figured out they were making money.
Did you?
I studied software. Yeah.
Yeah, so you right.
You know, I'm actually implementing that very soon, actually, myself. So a lot of people thought Credit Karma was just free. Credit Karma was making millions of dollars.
But how was they making it?
So Credit Karma knew your credit scores. And so they would offer you credit based off of those credit scores. So they were partnered with these credit card companies and loan companies. And they would make their money off of affiliates from that.
Pretty much on the back end.
Come on, man.
Okay.
So if you got millions of people signing up, they're doing commercials all over the world. And now everybody signing up, they not only got your data, but they also have those relationships with those particular companies, which they can offer you affiliate links to sign up for.
Yo, this is when I got so much I want to talk about, bro. Because first, you turning down $50 million, that tells me mentally where you at right there. Because I know for a fact, as we both know, most people in that position. I'm getting that bag. I'm out. So the fact that you got that vision to know, like, nah, this is a lot more valuable than that. I got a lot more growing to do. Mm-hmm. And you rolling that dice and betting on yourself.
Facts.
That let me know that you really all in and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just this isn't just a hustle or a come up. You know what I'm saying? You really believe in this and you swearing by it and you living by it.
Exactly.
That says everything about you as a business owner.
Yes, sir.
So I got to salute you again, not only for creating this software, but standing 10 toes down and not just getting a bag, because $50 million is a lot of fucking money.
It's a whole lot of money. It's relatively a lot of money.
What did your family say when you told them that?
So it's interesting. Like, I didn't really tell nobody but my wife. My wife, she don't even care about none of this stuff, honestly. What I drive and what she drives, she don't. As long as it drives,
and
she got space for the children, she's straight. She don't trip off these, you know, luxury type of stuff. I mean, she has nice things, but, you know, she don't trip off that stuff. And truthfully, neither do I. You know, I'm not a real flashy person. You know, I got a few nice things, but that don't really sway me or move me. You know, and I like people like LaRusso. I don't know if anybody follow him, but man, I met LaRusso a couple times, and he like came down to D.C. I met him again. He was like, man, I remember you from New York. You know, his whole team, Tieta, yeah, all of them, man. So, but I like his mentality. We got a similar mentality, you know. You know, we not really flashy. You know, we really try to get it out the mud, but empower people. You know, he said something recently where he's like, I may not make $1 billion, but I'm a change a billion lives.
Right.
And that's what I'm on. That's what I'm on. I'm trying to affect a billion lives. I'm trying to empower a billion lives, because a lot of people see credit repair and they look at it wrong, in my opinion. Like,
what do you mean?
Well, like, this software is just not a national software. It's a global software. Come on, man. Mm-hmm. I was in Kenya when I was like back in like, I think I was in Kenya back in like 2019 and or 2021 or two. And I was coding the software, still building the software. Remember, I ain't launched it 2021. So I'm in a coffee spot in Kenya coding, and this guy walks up to me. He's a developer too, but he lives in Kenya. And he's like, bro, is that a software that fixes credit? And I'm like, yeah, I'm building a software that does that. He was like, can it help fix credit here in Kenya? I didn't even know that they had credit out there.
A credit system like that.
Nah. So I was like, well, not yet. And I'm like, not yet. But once I do learn like how y'all credit reporting agencies work and all that, where I can import that credit report, once I can do that, shit, it's a wrap.
So can it do it now?
I don't know. I haven't looked into it yet. Okay, I'm still, okay. You know, so trying still, to... map okay. out North America right now and Canada next, actually. Mm. Mm.
You got a plan, bro, and you got vision.
Yeah.
And I could, and it's funny because I've been an entrepreneur now for like 4 years, and I've been around hundreds and hundreds of entrepreneurs and successful people. I've been around multimillionaires, thousandaires, billionaires, and something that I learned about successful people and people that assumed to be extremely successful, uber successful. Mm-hmm. They got a stone cold vision. It's nothing that's gonna get them out of that. Mm-hmm. And they have a it's hard to explain. It's just like they got one of those sure things, like I'm fucking locked in. This shit is gonna work. I'm putting my whole life on this shit. And I could tell just from being around you, looking at you, you one of those people.
Man,
so I know it's nothing but success coming for you as long as you stay locked in like you are right now.
Thank you.
Yeah, and you got a phenomenal thing for real. Man. And you got something that, like I said, 50 M's, you only can imagine what's gonna come next.
Yeah.
How do you feel about, because, you know, when it comes to this and exposing, you building something like this, you know, a lot of people will see this. Some people may be intimidated by you, and they'd be like, we need to create someone on our own that could be his competition or something like that. How do you feel about that?
I don't feel no way about it, actually. You know, I feel like it's a lot of space out here, but
facts.
You ain't got my vision.
Facts.
You can't do what I do. You can only do what you can do.
Real shit.
You know, you can try and copy me, but yo, see, a lot of people, they not rooted in pureness, and sometimes, you know, they try to copy something, but it's just not authentic.
It ain't authentic.
So it don't even present itself right. You know, it's just that one thing where it's like, that just ain't it. And so for me, like, the truth is going to defend itself. You put a clean glass next to a dirty glass, you gonna choose the right glass.
Yep. You can just see it.
Yeah, you just going to see it. You going to feel it. And, you know, for me, like, I truly believe that, what I have is unique, it's pure, you know, because, like, every time I get faced with certain things, you know, I rely on the same thought. Like, man, this is all about empowering people. And as long as I stay on that point and keep it at that temperature, I think I'll be good.
I got a couple things I want to address before we wrap this up. First, because you talked about being fired from the job.
Yeah.
So basically, you was like forced into entrepreneurship?
Not necessarily forced, because a lot of people just wouldn't apply for a job. Because I could have went and applied for another job.
Right. But I want you to talk about that, like the process from going from that 9 to 5 to you now. You completely own this.
Yeah. So it was a leap, though. I will say this, but. It started, man. I had started this job. I was there for about a year and a half before I got fired. They brought me in to actually re-architect like an old system. In fact, this system actually is like not a tax, but an accounting system.
Okay.
But for the whole like country government. Like, so when you send the money overseas, they're using this system.
They're using this system.
Right. So it was an old system. I repackaged, put a new front end, back end, and on the software, so it looked different, it moved faster, and we had got a new boss, a new manager rather. She came in, and she felt like I didn't know what I was doing, not knowing that I was the one who architected it. But in my mind, I'm just like, damn, I already see what's about to happen. And they put me on a PIP. And so, mind you, I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, all right, I know what this is. Performance improvement plan. That's what a PIP is. And so that PIP lasted for a month. So I knew the writing was on the wall. It was nothing I was going to be able to do to improve. Right. They were just trying to get me out of there.
Yep.
But I was like, okay, cool, yeah. So they put me under a senior developer, right? And I had to work under him. And I realized at that point, I need to hurry up and finish this software. I was so close to being done. And so they fired me a month after my birthday. So I got fired in June. And then in August, I launched the software. So, so they fired me, and, you know, I just was like, I just went all in. I was like, man, I actually asked people on my IG, should I quit or should I get fired? Everybody said.
I ain't never in my life heard no shit like that. I asked people on IG, should I quit? What they say, what was the vote?
Man, it's on IG somewhere, but I think they said a lot of people was like, get fired so that you can get
the severance.
Yeah.
Yeah, I already know.
What's crazy is I didn't quit. I got fired, but I still never went and got the severance.
Why not?
I don't know. I was just too focused on the software, finishing the software, to worry about that.
So I would have got that bad.
I know, man. I should have done it, but it's all good.
It's all good. It's all good.
Look at me now. You're
right.
I'm straight.
Right. That's crazy.
Yeah, I never did it. And launched the software 2 months later. I think that's July. Two months later. So I got fired June 28th.
How big of a adjustment was you from going to the job to now full-time entrepreneur?
More work.
Right.
More work.
I don't think people realize that. They be like, man, I'm gonna be my own boss, so I can make my own schedule, I can do what I want. It's like, yo, you don't realize you about to do more work than you ever thought working for yourself. You about to do whatever you doing at your 9 to 5, the 8-10 hours that you there,
right?
You might as well double that being a full-time entrepreneur.
So don't do it for money, because it's a beautiful burden. You know, that's why I look at it as it's a beautiful burden, because I actually enjoy what I'm doing. But if I was doing it for money, man, I promise you, I probably would quit or sell it or whatever the case may be. You know, that's why I tell people, man, once you get money, you realize that it's just a tool. And a lot of people don't really understand that because they never had money. But once you get it, then you kind of get it. You be like, this is just money. And you just start doing more things. And hopefully you start leveraging it and, you know, getting assets and things like that to help you continuously generate money. But whatever you do, don't do it for money. Do it because you enjoy doing it. And it has a purpose to it. And that you'll go, it'll help you through those difficult times when you beyond tired or you don't want to do certain things. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're going to keep going through it because you like, man, you know, I know the purpose and I know why I'm doing it. And it ain't because of this cheddar or this paper that's coming in.
Facts.
You know? Yeah.
So that investor ain't offering you $50 million because you was doing it for money. You would have never got to that point if you was just doing it for money.
Right.
You have, like you said, you had a plan, vision, purpose, impact, and that's what's gonna get you the money.
Exactly.
You are fit, because let's keep it real. By default, when somebody offers you $10 million, $20 million, $50 million, whether you got it in your bank account or not, that's what the fuck you worth at minimum.
At that point,
you know what I'm saying. So I think a lot of people don't understand it. A lot of people attach their value most of the time to whatever they, you know, physically have in a bank without having vision to see, like, hold on, this motherfucker offered me $5-10 million. What am I worth for real?
Yeah.
Like, what's my real value?
Exactly.
So somebody offering you like that lets you know what kind of value you have.
And another thing, there's like something called EBITDA, that where people like they assess your company off of EBITDA.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know the term because I don't even believe in it like that. Because a lot of time, like I had a buddy of mine who was who wanted to actually invest in the software, and he was kept bringing up EBITDA, and I'm just like, bro, like, I haven't even got started. I haven't even started marketing the software. You trying to run this EBITDA stuff on about the software, but the vision is so much greater than, you know, what you're saying. And I understand what you're saying. And I respect it. But in this case, this different than
that. Different.
You can't judge it like that. and you're going to miss the opportunity because you keep trying to focus on that. And, you know, that didn't happen. That's still my man. That's my dog, right, man. He's smart. He doing his thing, multimillionaire. But, I mean, he'll see in a minute.
He going to see. Yeah. No, you keep working. He definitely going to see. With the software like this, is only going to go up. I want to ask you this. Like, what's some other obstacles you have faced to overcome while doing this and building this software?
I want to say balance in my life, you know,
family life and stuff.
Family life. That's been something that I'm really focusing on now that I got the software to where it's at. And, you know, I got more resources now that the company is really generating a lot more revenue. I can bring more people on, which is actually allowing me to scale and move faster. But, you know, it took me that long to actually finish this software because, you know, I was doing it mainly by myself, you know. So, that's one of the challenges, man, that come to mind right away is that. But just more exposure. That's been a challenge for me. I've always been behind the computer. People don't really know my personality know who I am personally. But now I'm learning, like, that exposure is like 60% of your success.
It is.
That, like,
my today's time.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's a challenge. And that's really it, man. Oh, the educational part in credit fishing means so much to me. And, you know, I just found out today we got somebody that we really like that is going to help us in that area. And
that's good news,
man, because I've been really wanting to get that educational portion really mapped out. And that's why I kind of held off for it for a long time. Like, I got tutorial videos in here, like, you can click on them and it's going to break it down and all that. Like, this one's check system. Oh, that's actually an AI version of me. Oh.
That's an AI version of you?
Yeah.
Talking?
Yeah.
That's not you talking.
Nah. That's my voice, but it ain't me.
AI shit crazy, yo. This shit, wow.
Yeah, man. But since I'm on that point, man, let me show you guys something about, mm-hmm. like, even, like, ChatGPT in here. This is just I got some inquiries selected. But, like I told y'all, like, I got ChatGPT in here. You can rewrite your letters, your dispute letters.
That's insane.
So it changes up the language. Chat GPT.
Telling you right now, I'm gonna have the credit fixer website link in the bio in the notes of the podcast description. Sure. So everybody that's listening and watching, y'all hear the value, y'all want to fix y'all credit, fix y'all people credit, hit that link. It's in the podcast description, and you get started today, man. Like. I want to ask you this before we wrap up, because we got a hard stop at 3.
Okay.
What, for somebody that's listening to this, right, and they experiencing, they got some amazing things they want to do. They want to build something or become an entrepreneur, or if they working a 9-to-5, but they feel like they got so many obstacles in their way, they can't stay focused, or they at a ground, that ground level, wherever you was and you were starting, or I was starting at, what's your best piece of advice for them to get that journey on the right path, you know what I mean? So they can start and get navigating and moving in the right direction, because some people see no way out.
Wow, man. So I think I was like that myself. Mm-hmm. Like, just growing up in Compton, it wasn't a lot of resources. I'm going to speak from that standpoint. Okay. Like, some of us, like, we don't have any resources. But one of the greatest resources that you do have is truth, and standing on that and relying on that, and not, that takes you a long way. Like, for me, like, I could have went down the wrong path and stuff like that, but I never did. And that's kind of what helped me through a lot of things. Like, it was still difficult. And one of the things that I want people to understand is stand on truth, but go through whatever you got to go through. Like, you just got to keep going through it. Like, it's going to make its way. Like, it's, I know this, I'm trying to find the words to where you guys can understand what I'm trying to say. It's going to be difficult.
Yep, supposed to be.
The moment that you accept that it's going to be difficult, that's when you, like, start making those strides forward. A lot of people that keep worrying about it, damn, it's going to be difficult. It's supposed to be difficult. Everybody's not blessed to be in, you know, the same environments. Mm-hmm. Like some of us come from worse environments than me or you or anybody that's hearing this. Mm-hmm. Like there's people that got it worse than you. So once you accept where you at and you understand, like, you know what, I'm here and I want to go there, again, it's already real. But your path might be more difficult, but you just got to continue to go and move forward and do it the right way. When you do it the right way, the journey, when you look back, it looks so much better.
Absolutely.
It feels so much better.
Yep.
You know, like I could have went and bought a white label, and no disrespect to people who got
right,
white
no disrespect,
labels.
No disrespect.
But listen, no disrespect. It's a different feeling when you got your own situation.
Completely.
Man, what? Man, I didn't get into a whole lot of things that I wanted to get into, but that's cool. We got into some great things on this call.
Yeah.
But, when I tell you, like, when you just keep striving, that's when it's going to work for you. It's going to happen. It's never over. It's never over, man.
Until you did.
Man.
As long as you got life in you, you could keep pushing.
Come
but
on.
Before I let you go, I want you to plug all your stuff where people could, like I said, go to the site, find you on social media. Everything you got, plug it so people can stay tapped in with you.
Man, y'all follow me everywhere, man. Credit Fixer. That's Credit FIXRR, no E. And that's on YouTube. That's on IG. That's on Facebook. We got Credit Fixer Challenge. If you guys should join the challenge, we do the challenge every month. CreditFixerChallenge.com. You can sign up, join the wait list. What else we got? Swift, what else we got, man? Man.
Like the 3-day challenge?
Yeah, that's Credit Fixer Challenge. But, I think that's it. I think that's everything, man. I want to say that I'm truly honored to be on your show, bro. Like, I've been watching you for a year.
Thank you,
and
bro.
All your podcasts have been great, man.
Thank you, bro.
It's natural.
We
didn't even have a conversation how we was going to talk about the podcast or nothing. We was like, man, we just going
right,
to make it
right. We're going to make it right.
Yeah.
Yep,
did. Man, this is one of my favorite podcasts, bro.
Thank you, bro. That's love, man. We're going to have to do this again because I feel like I can tell we got so much more we can talk about.
Yeah.
So we gonna talk offline.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, but make sure y'all definitely tap in with Kabir, man. Y'all see all the amazing things he's doing, all the amazing things he's built, and there's only more to come. And to stay tapped in with the platform, you already know we on all platforms at Millionaire Mindsets. Y'all can find me on Instagram at Official Xavier Miller and Xavier C. Miller everywhere else. And that's all I have for y'all on this episode of Millionaire Mindsets Podcast. See you guys next episode. Peace.
Gotta get your brain right if you're trying to make $1 million. If you ain't gonna do it for yourself, then do it for your mama. Only stay surrounded by them people if you know they solid. Elevate your hustle up today to double up your profit. Trying to learn some game, Xavier gonna talk about it. No, Deanna, speak that shit that everybody vouching. Ain't no more excuses valid. Get up off the couch and get up in your bag to your bank account, need an accountant.
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.